Okay, before I begin, I just want to say again, this is very going to be very, very simplified. I'm going to leave a lot of pieces out, but I'm going to try and give a general outline of what's going on. Okay? So there's going to be some things missing. Treasuries, I'm not going to get into the importance of treasuries, the implications with bonds. I'm going to really simplify this. Okay, it all starts out here with what are called debt obligations. They're sort of packaged up. And this is where people generally tune out. They hear like CSO, CLO, CBO, CROs, all into CDOs, and it's just like, yeah, what? What this means, basically, is people sign debt agreements. And these aren't all junk. Some of them are good, and some of them aren't so good. But they're debt agreements, right? Which means whoever holds this packaged up has income. Now, I also want to say here that you won't find a market like the New York Stock Exchange with charts and everything. Some people have done it independently, but you won't find an exchange where these are traded. Best way I can describe it was sort of just like by phone calls and hard selling. These were just sold all over the place, like some dirty black market deal almost. There's no exchange that was had oversight of any of this that was going on. But anyways, these are debt obligations. They were sold all over the world. And whoever held them, hey, I got money coming in because these people owe money. I bought the package, for whatever rating it was, for whether it was credit cards or real estate or wherever it was at, whatever kind of loan it was. I've got income because they're paying into this and I'm getting paid and I'm not going to get into the complexities of the actual package. But hey, all over the world. But since there was no exchange that this was on, which means it wasn't illegal, none of this was illegal. There was no exchange, there was no oversight, there was nothing like that. People weren't watching really the stringency of the ratings, and that's where subprime comes in. People, these debts, they were getting a hold of them and they weren't watching what they were getting a hold of. And this is people that should not have, a lot of these should not have had loans. Again, not all of them. Some of them, again, these are still, there's still money with them. There's just not a market for them. Well, why? Well, let's just take like the CROs. What are you talking about, Dan? You're starting to get into abbreviations again. We all know about the housing crisis, all right? Well, how does this relate to that? Now, before we get into that and why they're losing value, we need to say that, okay, people had owned these things, right? Institutions, companies owned these, and that's where you hear about subprime exposure. They were using it as collateral to buy other stuff, to buy junk, to expand their business. It was basically a type of collateral that they would use and say, hey, look what we got on our books. We got all this income coming in. But now we run into subprime blows up and the housing crisis arises. And it takes a downturn. But see, since those companies had bought so much stuff, that's called they over-leveraged themselves into things like real estate. So the real estate market takes one, let's just say, like one tick down. We'll just pick an arbitrary value. That means they're losing, like, the company that owns it, 30. So, congratulations, geniuses. You just made the mistake that every trader learns very early on not to do and over-leverage yourself. Well, that's what they did. So, what could have been just a downturn in the real estate market, and everybody would have been like, oh, awesome. We're going to rush in and buy houses, that for a cheaper price. Instead of that, now we're tied to these CDOs. And for every time the real estate market goes down, companies are losing just one, let's just say like a buck, the real estate market goes down, these companies are losing like $30. You see the problem now? These two are now tied together and there's no getting them apart because of over leverage. Well, why did the real estate market go down? Well, let's bring in our next little entity here, the citizen, you and me, taxpayers. Let's take a look at what they're going through. For one thing, right now, inflation, it had started to jump up. Right now, it's 5.6%, but it had started to jump up before that. which means nobody's going to rush in and buy houses, which means the real estate market continues its downturn and loses another buck, which means these companies around the world lose 30 bucks more. They're also the producers. Let's say you're a citizen, you own your own business. Well, you know, PPI inflation started going up. Now it's at 13.2%. And as all that's happening and it's getting worse for the taxpayer, what's going to increase? Unemployment. So now we're up to 6.1% for unemployment. Some people are saying that the real inflation is as high as 13% right now. So they're having a hard time, which means they're not going to rush in and buy houses, which means the real estate market's going to go down another dollar, which means these companies are losing more business and they are forced out of business. Now there's nothing left. Well, some months ago we started to hear, you know what, subprime's coming to an end. This is all blown over. So some I'll call them favored banks. I'm not going to get into a lot of the situation here, just like I didn't get into inflation and the difference between CPI and what the real inflation rate really is. But I'll just call them favored banks, whether they were, let's say, had a healthy balance sheet, and that's why they're favored, or for other reasons. I'm not going to get into that. But they start, hey, you know what, we're going to see the economy turn around. Some of them didn't even realize we were in a recession because they didn't understand what the citizens were going through. And so they start buying up these debt obligations as other companies are going out of business at depressed prices because, hey, there is the assumption the housing market's going to turn around. Buyers are going to rush in. Wah, 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 wah. Sorry, because guess what? Citizens still have credit cards with high interest. They still have their mortgage that they're trying to deal with despite inflation, despite unemployment, despite, you know, what the real inflation is, despite the PPI numbers. They're seeing their 401k dwindle because, why? Because companies are going out of business, the stock market's trying to reflect value, trying to, desperately. And so they're seeing their 401k dwindle on top of credit card bills, on top of a mortgage, on top of inflation, on top of unemployment, which means they're not going to go out and start rushing in and buying houses. Which means the real estate market goes down another buck, which means, and some of the, you know, the favored banks had just sort of started to buy up some of this stuff, some of the debt obligations. Some people were still holding on to them. It's like, it's going to turn around. It's like watching a trader, a bad trader doesn't know when to get out of a trade. And it's going to turn around. So what's the problem here? Do you see it? Do you see the main culprit? It's not even the business was done or, you know, the subprime stuff. It's like, you know, those were some of those citizens that were writing these agreements that had no business writing them that got packaged up. And see, there is blame for everybody. The main problem I see is, A, it wasn't on an exchange that could be regulated. No, you could oversee it. The accounting practices were deplorable. Over leverage. Look at that leverage. That's what was forcing companies out of business and seeing, you know, $22 billion write-downs. So instead of addressing inflation or, you know, the leverage problem, everybody's gathered up and said, okay, what we need to do is $700 billion to buy up this stuff, all right, and then we'll own it. It'll still be losing value because we haven't addressed the main problems. See, unemployment's still high. That's a problem. Nobody's going to rush in. The housing market just doesn't suddenly just, oh, it just turned around on us. No. The citizens need to be in a position where they can go buy houses, and that hasn't happened, and that hasn't been addressed. So now we enter into the what I call the Achilles heel, which is the Fed, who has the U.S. dollar at a very low rate right now. So your credit cards and your mortgages, those are as low as you're going to see them. And that's why I said, I'd like to be in a spot where we can raise rates. No one can afford the rates being risen right now because the lenders have proven that they're not gonna ease up. Everybody's in a mad scramble for money. I'll finish up my comments on the daily blog.